Popcornalorians, this is JC, and I'm joined by
Steph with an F.
Steph, how are you?
Doing all right. I love how you intro us together so much better than I do. I just try to like throw it at you just a random time so you don't know when.
Well, you give You're me too so much nice. Credit. Be that as it may, I want to let everybody know that we are in our next episode here. We're going to be talking about Flushed Away. This is a fun film. For those of you who don't know what it is, you're about to learn a great deal about it. Let's go ahead and just jump into the plot. So, and Steph, you can fill in gaps that I miss. I will admit it's been a while since I've seen this movie, but I have seen it several times.
Yes.
So here we go.
I'm about to say this movie was, I think, really underrated for what people, when I talk about it a little bit, or at least mention the name, people. It takes them a little bit, but this really was a funny movie.
Yes. And I'm going to give just a very brief overview of the plot, and then we can go deeper into details as you would like to. This movie follows the adventures of Roddy St. James. He's a almost a rich or wealthy rat, if you would. He's a pet rat that lives in Kensington, which is an area in London. Roddy's family goes on, I believe, vacation. Roddy's got the house to himself. He seems to have everything. He lives in, like I said, a pretty wealthy area, at least it seems to viewers. And as Roddy is going about his, you know, nightly routine, saying goodnight to himself, goodnight to inanimate objects like dolls and, you know, houses and different things that he has to play with in that house, which is really crazy because this guy has, like, reign of a house when the humans are gone. He's running around, he's playing with cars.
Blah, oh, he's blah, blah. In a tux.
Oh, yeah. And he's even got a toothbrush. He does a mock drive-in movie date with a doll, which, you know, I mean, Roddy seems to have it all, right? But we're hit with this stunning revelation that Roddy is really alone. And this loneliness is interrupted by Sid, who comes up through the toilet.
Hence, the name Flushed Away. He is a sewer rat, if you don't mind me saying.
That's correct. He takes over, and he's demanding Roddy to fetch him some Pop-Tarts from the kitchen. And I don't know why I remember that. But Roddy has this idea. And he recommends that he provide Sid with a whirlpool bath in the jacuzzi. Well, the jacuzzi just happens to be the toilet. So we're going to skip a few details here. Roddy gets flushed down his toilet from a world of pleasure and luxury into the sewer. And he comes face to face with challenge after challenge. And he finally meets Rita.
Yes. Well, and I just wanted to say Roddy is played by Hugh Jackman. Rita is played by Kate Winslet. The Toad, who we'll talk about a little later, is played by Ian McKellen. La Frog, who we'll talk about also later, is played by Gene Reno, I think is how it's said. And then Bill Knightley is plays Whiteley. Bill Knightley plays Whiteley. And then Andrew Skarsgård.
Sarkis, I think.
Yeah, Sarkis. He plays Spike. And there's a lot of other characters also. Rita's mom and everyone. It gets into some actors and actresses I don't know as much about. I think they're more in the British actors and actresses.
Yeah, because I've never heard of Bill Nighy. Of course, I've heard of Hugh. I mean, we know
Bill Nighy was in... what is the movie? It's a romantic one. He's played in a few movies that we know. Okay. Let me just pull it up right now since I have it I have it right here.
This bunny trail from the podcast is brought to you by.
It's brought to you by IMDb because that's where I find my info. All right. Love Actually. He's also been in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Page 8, which I don't know about that, and About Time. He was also in About Time. I think he was the dad in About Time.
I
But
have
I
not
Love
seen
Actually was
anything.
one of his one of the movies that we probably people in the United States would know more. Of course, also Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, okay. I
So,
have Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes.
but this movie, just to give some facts out there for everyone. This movie was 2006, and was one of those movies where they had fully transitioned into the new animation and the digital animated features, which was still new back then. And so it was released in 2006. The directors, there was two, David Barrows and Sam Fell. David, he directed like movies Diary of a Wimpy Kid,
Okay, yeah.
Erotic Flushed Away, of course, another Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, also Astro Boy, and then Sam Fell. Flushed Away also was a director of Paranorman, but he did other movies along with Flushed Away. Also Rex the Runt, which was a TV series. He was also involved with that, which I don't know much about that one. That was only a little one in 2001. I think it's only like three episodes. But he directed some great movies. Of course, like I said, a star cast. Also, this movie, you don't know at first, is a musical. They have a lot of singing in this movie. A lot of classics. One of the biggest ones was, of course, Tina Turner and her song, Proud Mary. But they had what happened was is that they have this what they keep calling a belt, because they can just clip it on themselves, but it's this wires that what is it? The Toad, who is think of
Yes,
him like the
yes.
Godfather. He is, the big bad, the Godfather of this place. He rules with an iron. I don't fist. I don't know what Toad's arm. But he's pulling the wealth, and what he wants to do is he wants to get rid of
Oh, you
all
know
of the
what it is? It
mice.
was the, I'm sorry, the master cable.
The master cable, yes, the master cable.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
But he wants to get rid of all the mice. Toads and frogs rule the world. Of course, he has some rat or mice henchmen, and it's just a lot of fun. And Roddy gets to see another world and gets to. I mean, he's been part of this uptown, upscale kind of,
Right.
pet mouse, but now he gets to
Right.
see, and be in this world and meet Rita's family, and
Yes.
he starts to fall in love with her too.
And Rita is really somewhat of an opposite almost to Roddy. Rita is a resourceful, experienced, really a loner for a little bit. She's got a family, but I don't think she quite realizes how good she has it until she sees how lonely Roddy is. At
Yep.
least it seems that way.
Well, and she's an entrepreneur. She has a boat
Yes.
who the boat keeps getting stolen. It's pretty funny. One time by Roddy.
Yes.
LeFrog is attempting to stop the toad, but he hasn't been able. He's like the detective, the police officer. He hasn't been able to get enough on Toad to put him away in jail. So what happens is they go on this a bunch of hijinks happens, and Rita and Roddy have to save this town and save all the rats. And it's just a lot of fun. And really some growth amongst the characters. But there is a time when Roddy walks away and you don't know what's truly going to happen. But then, of course, he comes back and helps save the day in his awkwardness, defeating the Toad and just the family. The family is crazy. Rita's family is so much fun. She's got a couple brothers and they're just, I mean, it's just like that big old good old feel family, you know what I mean? Like
And
everyone
that's
loves and
really the
supports.
that's the special part about it, is you see the contrast of Roddy, who does not have a family. He's got a very loving owner. I think the owner loves her pet rat. But Roddy doesn't have anybody that he can relate to and anyone that can relate to him. And so, he's around Roddy's parents, not, excuse me, he's around Rita's parents, there we go, and family. And then there's this misunderstanding where, as you pointed out earlier, causes Roddy to have this terrible idea to go off and steal Rita's boat. I believe it's called the Jemmy Dodger. I have to look up the name of the boat, but yes, the Jemmy Dodger. There it is. Yep. Okay. And by the way, just to point out also, you'll remember, Stephanie, a lot of the conflict from the start with Rita and Roddy centers around his breaking of her precious ruby, which he informs her is fake. It's not a real ruby.
Nope, but to her it was, and to a lot of other people it was too, but it's not real. Little known fact, Hugh Jackman provided the screams for the slug that
Pretty cool.
Roddy first meets in the sewer. Oh, the slugs are awesome.
Yes.
Really, this movie I think was kind of one of those underrated ones. I really think it just had some good family fun in it, but also had some good little cameo stuff, because they did do a Star Wars. It was one up from episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, from 1980. Or from some of you traditionals, that's the third original movie. They have a little frozen rat scene in there, kind of like Han Solo, what happened to him. It's really funny. And they have, some other just little quirks in there. And
And
let's
also to
see.
point out, Stephanie, while you're looking at your next fun fact there, I thought this was interesting. This movie is made by, of course, DreamWorks. It was the third and final DreamWorks animation film, co-produced by some of the same people that did Chicken Run, or so one of the same people that did Chicken Run and Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yes, and that's some great animation. I know, I think those animations were stop animation, if I remember correctly.
I believe so.
This was the first fully CGI featured film. The reason for using computer animation instead of the studio trademark clay animation, which was a stop motion, I think that they used clay, was that numerous scenes involved water. Which would be nearly impossible to do with stop motion. So they had to for this
And they
movie.
real they still made the characters kind of look like they were made from clay, I think.
Yeah, they really, I think, yeah, they took that style that they were known for, and like you said, made it look like clay, but it was digital. And it worked. I liked it. I think it was very innovative for the time. I really, especially like the city and everything they did, I don't know if it would have, first off, they wouldn't have been able to do it with water, as stop motion. But I really think making it digital really took it to another level anyway, because most of the movies right then were just starting to go to digital, or were already being done as digital ones, for the most part too. I think, if I remember correctly, Pixar had already probably went to digital at that time. I think they went to digital before then, so they were catching up. But this again was just a fun household movie that you could watch with the kids and not be too scared or anything like that. I think for almost any age, the little kids won't really know or some of the references that are being made in there, but it was really, really nice.
It is neat because this movie also, Stephanie, I'm sorry to cut you off. Did you have something
No,
else?
I did not.
I was going to say they also situate it around the time of the 2006 FIFA World Cup final. So for you soccer lovers out there, it is a very interesting Easter egg, if you will, or little tidbit in the movie.
Yes, and there's some fun in there too with that. Well, with the Rotten Tomato score, it actually scored, the audience score was only 65%. But the tomato or tomato meter is 73%, so it was higher. This was an hour and 25-minute movie. The critics, consensus was it was clever, appealing to both children and adults. Flush Away marks a successful entry into the digital animated features for Armand. We're not going to even try to pronounce that because I don't want to sound be offensive. Animations. There are a lot of other critic reviews on there, but it's one of those rare ones where the critics actually rated it higher than the audience. But I think the problem was is that I think there were some other movies out at that time that overshadowed this movie. But I mean, it's a rare gem and not just one of those fake gems that Rita thought was real. It's very funny and some good stuff was portrayed in there to like learning, like realizing that maybe the grass isn't greener on the other side in certain levels. But sometimes, you know, you don't know what you have until it's almost gone.
And this movie also, I don't know if this is weird or not, but I find it to be a very relaxing film to watch. It's the story is well done. But it's those that as a kid, I remember I'd watch and I'd just be like, it's just a fun movie. And it was paced well. There were slow moments, there were fast moments, there was character development. And like you said, you learn some things along the way.
And there was singing in there. They did a great job of taking some of classic hits, some of the I think a couple newer hits back then, of course, so back in the day of 2000 before 2006, because this movie would have been created or because it was released in 2006, would have been created in like 2004 or 5. But you know, taking a lot of references and a lot of other stuff, like you said, it made it fun for both adults and kids.
Absolutely. So I think that this film deserves a sequel. I don't think it will happen, but I think it would be okay. Maybe deserves is a strong word. I think it would be interesting to get a sequel, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think when we look at the fact that Roddy and Rita are now together, because I think Rita ended up staying with Roddy. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Or Roddy went back to the sewer.
Yeah, went back to the sewer and they're gonna go on some adventures on the boat. I think there's a lot of the world left so open that they could do another movie and it not be the same movie, but really just enhance it a little bit better. But I don't know. It's got to be the right script, you know, and I would love if a lot of the same characters come back or voice actors came back to voice a lot of those characters again.
Right.
But I think it, like I said, I think it wouldn't hurt it if it got a sequel. It's one of those movies that the world was big enough that I think they could do that and go on that next big adventure.
And I also think exploring Sid might be an interesting topic as well.
Yes, and some of the other kids, the brothers, there's so much of that world that wasn't explored. Even the city itself, just
Yes.
I mean the functioning of it and everything. I think there's a lot to it that could really help with a sequel. Are they going to make one? Probably not. But it would be nice. And actually, since a lot of time has passed, maybe make a sequel to where they got kids now, you
And
know?
like you said, are they likely to make a sequel? Probably not. However, I think about when you look at the character motivation. So, like Rita, I think one of the things she wanted to do was she wanted to get money to give her family a better place to live. I remember one of the scenes, Stephanie. I believe this is how it happened, but she was talking to her dad about, this opportunity to get some money, and he starts banging on, I think it's the stove, and he goes, "We don't need the money." And it breaks down, falls apart. And so I think it would be interesting to get a glimpse of how her family's doing, how Roddy's doing. Are Roddy and Rita, are they married? What's going on with them? I would be very, very fascinating. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll get it, but.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a little surprised we didn't, but I can also maybe understand it too, because digital being so brand new was very expensive. It's still expensive, but very expensive back in the day. Because this movie made over one that a $178 million in US let's see, in the US. But it was considered a bomb, I think, because it wasn't able to make enough over what, the cost of it was 149 million to make, and they only made 178 million, which, I mean, sounds like small potatoes, but, I mean, if you don't make enough money to be able to warrant a sequel, they're not going to do that.
Right. And going off of something you said earlier, and I think this is true of our previous film that we discussed, Megamind. I really, in well, probably more so with this film, this is a forgotten gem in a lot of ways. When you hear people talk about movies, when you hear talk about animated movies, this is not one of the most popular movies that I hear discussed. But I think that's unfortunate because I do think it deserves more recognition.
Yep. Well, and Screen Rant actually has it in the 10 greatest kids movies that bombed at the
Oh,
box
wow.
office. They were in that one. But I mean, they have some movies like Matilda and Iron Giant that they got a cult following. But this one didn't. I don't think got as much of a cult following. But I still think it's really good to watch with the family and kids, and you don't have to worry about much really on there. The kids are going to get what the kids get, and the parents are going to enjoy them watching the movie. So I really think it's a really good. Speaking about what we think and what others think, let's get to our popcorn score on this popcorn meter. I've just claimed it as the popcorn meter. My popcorn score on this popcorn meter is I want to give this movie, I'm going to give it probably about a 6 out of 10, only because it wasn't as memorable as some of the other movies from that era. It was still a very good movie. I think it had a few things need to be flushed out. Sorry for the pun. But I think it was for the one of the first for DreamWorks as the digital, like going to digital. I think this was a very good movie for that. What about you?
I think really for the nostalgia more than anything else, for me, this is an 8 out of 10. I've watched this movie several times. Just a fun, memorable movie. There is that nostalgia, so I'm sure that taints my objectivity for rating this film, but I would give it a solid 8 out of 10. As far as why I don't give it a 10, if I say it's this great of a movie, I think for me, I wanted more resolution to the ending. I wanted to see more of what happened with the characters. And I understand there's only so much you can do within a given time frame and the duration of
Yeah.
the film, so I can be
Well,
understanding of that.
and also with it being digital, they were probably already up against a time crunch and against cost too, because like you said, it didn't make enough money. But again, you rated it a 10 popcorn, or sorry, a 8 popcorn out of 10. I rated it a 6 popcorn out of 10. I think this is a popcorn bag worthy movie to watch. Sorry, I'm just having so much fun with the popcorn. By the way, folks, I haven't told John Christopher anything about this. This is the second time we've done the popcorn meter, and I just coined what we're calling it this time. But I think this movie is really, really fun. I think it's a great family watch. Nothing too scary, nothing too over one way or the other for adults and kids. I think it's very, very good. Folks, you can check us out on the Branson Podcast Network, also on Spotify or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And one day in the future, you will catch us on YouTube as well. Currently, we don't have video for season one, but we will here soon. So, for Steph of the Nath and John Christopher,
grab your popcorn and keep on imagining.